my privilege to introduce to you our last and final speaker. We've saved the best for last. To be introduced to high caliber, tenacious, faithful teaching. And Shannon would be that example that we would commend to you and has been faithfully serving and just doing a marvelous job. And we felt it would be appropriate for him to end our time together this week in teaching us the Word of God. And he's just been a tremendous example to me personally. And so would you welcome Shannon Hurley.
Makama Yebazibwe. Oh, does not, nobody knows how to answer that. Come on, ready? Makama Yebazibwe. Well, what a joy it is to be with you, and I thank the Lord for such an opportunity. What I want to do with you today is jump into the topic at hand. And for some of you, this final message is going to be shocking. Some of you are going to think when you leave, this guy, this missionary is far too intense. Some of you might even think that this guy's not very loving. And the ironic thing of that is not my heart. My heart is to communicate my desperate love and concern and care for all of you. But despite the fact of being potentially misunderstood, I want to address to you the subject of God's wrath. Because I want you to be awakened out of any form of mediocrity. And I want us to rise up as leaders and as missionaries, so that we would have a biblical world view. I want some of us as well to run to the only refuge that we have, which is the person of Jesus Christ. I believe wholeheartedly that Satan does not want us to be awakened to think about this subject. Because he knows if we are mindful of the future reality of mankind, that it will impact you as believers. That it will affect every ounce of who you are. It will penetrate your very life's existence. You will live differently. And my desire is to awaken you to the reality that our God is a God of wrath. That you might live differently when you leave this camp. Therefore, it's my desire to open this because Satan wants you to think about anything other than his wrath. He wants you to love this world, to be consumed in this world, and not think anything outside of this world. That's why he will fill every moment of your day with something. I was last night at BJ's Pizza. And I couldn't believe it. I looked at the TV screen and there was one screen, but six different channels. I live under a rock a little bit. I couldn't believe it. I mean, which one do you watch? But these days, if the one is boring, rather than watching the commercials, you turn to the next. And when you go home, you have an iPod and you can listen all day long, fill your mind with all kinds of stuff. And then there's your iPhone. Not just iPhone 1 or Apple iPhone. What is these things? Not just one. Now we have four. Whatever four is. And I think now you can watch and look at somebody. I don't know. But we are bombarded with this life. All the different thrills. Everything to get us to think about everything but eternity. But I want to make it clear, my dear brothers, my dear friends, the God that we read in this Bible is a God of wrath. I don't like it, but I'm not God. If we look and we go to the Bible and we look at His revelation about Himself, you are bombarded with the reality that this God has revealed Himself to be a God of wrath. We can try and ignore the reality, but no matter what we do, every page you turn to is about this topic of His wrath. Some people have even called this book a book about the revelation of God's wrath. From a human standpoint, to be honest with you, I wish I never had to talk about such a subject. I wish actually we could cut out of the Bible all these things about God's wrath, because they trouble me. And they should trouble you. But in reality, the problem is we don't understand God. And we don't look at life from His perspective. We look at life through our eyes. And when we look at life through our eyes, we say, wait, how can a God bring about wrath like this? But reality is, we aren't to look at life through our eyes, we're to look at it through His. And really, when we start seeing things from His perspective, we can begin to kind of understand. Because in reality, let me ask you a question. If someone were to come into your home in the middle of the night, take your youngest brother, your youngest sister, and steal him from your home and slaughter him, and then he were to put his blood all over that person and put his name and take pictures, and the judge were to see and know that that person was a criminal, and he were to go before the judge, testify, I am guilty, and the judge, because he likes them, or because he wants to be kind to that individual, turns around and says, hey, let's let this criminal go free. Would that be just or unjust? It would be unjust. And somehow we think that we are so good, and we realize that in reality we are bad. My friends, this God is the King of the universe, and He is a judge of the living and the dead. And because He is a righteous judge, He cannot let anything go unpunished. Therefore, He must punish. Therefore, the wrath of God is who He has revealed Himself to be. I want to start by defining, if you will, what the wrath of God is. And then I want to show you six manifestations of the wrath of God. I want to define and then give you six manifestations. And I ask that you take out your pen and follow along. First of all, what is the wrath of God? I would define the wrath of God to you as this. God's wrath is His morality reacting against man's immorality. It's His morality reacting against man's immorality. Second definition I can give you. God's wrath is the holiness of God stirred to action against sin. It's the holiness of God stirred to action against sin. Third response I would give as to what the wrath of God is God's wrath is His natural response to all that is unholy. You see, if I were to come over to my brother and I were to go to hit him, the natural response for him would be to block or to move, right? That's what comes natural. Because of the way in which he's made, because of his character, the response to someone hitting is to move. In the same way, the response of God by His very nature, the very makeup He has, is the response to sin is what? Is what? Wrath, judgment. That's His response to sin. That's His response to what is unholy. That is His response to ungodliness because of the very character of Himself. That is the wrath of God revealed. I want to show you now how God has revealed Himself as a God of wrath through the Bible. And there's six ways in which He's revealed Himself. The first way is this: God has revealed His wrath through natural disasters. God has revealed His wrath through what?
Natural disasters.
As soon as you open up the Bible, you see God destroying the whole world. In Genesis chapter 6, we see the great event of Noah and the flood. And it's funny how we do things as humans. Now you see Noah and the ark as being children's bedroom accessories, right? I mean, it's all cute, the ark and Noah. Do we not know that that is the most horrific event probably anywhere in the Bible? My friends, on that day, God got tired of the universe. He got tired of their sin. And what he says, Noah, I want you to build this boat because I am going to destroy the world. And you can imagine people laughing and Noah preaching and they're laughing. They're not paying attention. They're no response. What a crazy man. What a crazy man. Then all of a sudden they see Noah adding all these animals into this boat. And they're going, what is going on? Where do these animals come from anyways? But all of a sudden, Noah and his family get in. And God closes the door to this boat. They see the clouds coming. And you can hear probably the panic of the people. What's going on? Maybe he was right. Maybe we should have listened. And you can hear the murmuring of the people. And then the rain starts coming. And it comes and it gets thicker and higher and higher. And the Bible says that the heavens open and the deeps open. And the earth begins to fill, and you could probably see people grabbing their families, going to the highest parts, lifting their families up. Everyone's screaming, there's pandemonium. And Noah's looking and hearing the cries of the people. Little children, little babies died on that day. That is a horrific event. But it's a demonstration that God has mercy on no one. On no one. For all have sinned. And this God, according to our word, that He has given us, says that all who sin will punish judgment, will be punished in hell. That's what happened to Noah. God sent a natural disaster that destroyed everyone. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 7, listen to these words, Genesis chapter 7, turn in your Bibles if you'd like. Verse 21, it says this. He says this, all flesh that moved on the earth perished. Birds and cattle and beasts and every swarming thing that swarmed upon the earth, all mankind died. It says, of all mankind, all that was on dry land, all whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, died. But we think for some reason that is for then. I mean, God is now a loving God. You've heard it. The Old Testament is an expression of God's wrath, but that is not the case. God in Sodom and Gomorrah, He gets tired of this city and their immorality. He goes and He warns them. He sends messengers to warn even. Would not repent. Finally, God says, boop. Whole thing turns to fire, is burned up and is blotted out of existence. And you remember Lot's wife, she was told, don't look back, and she looked back and boop, turns to salt. But wait a second, you can imagine Lot, wait, that's my wife. That's my wife. Dead. You can look at the Tower of Babel. You could look at the death of Ananias and Sapphira, where all of a sudden they dropped dead on the spot. Maybe it was a heart attack. I don't know. But the reality is God has shown that He will use natural disasters to blot out mankind. There was an earthquake in the middle of the ocean a few years ago. I don't know if you remember. And that earthquake had effects all across the world, but in one particular area, the beach normally landed right on the shore. But in this situation, it caused such an effect that the waters went far beyond the shoreline, killing people, everyone that was on the beach, anyone that just came to go swimming, just came on a family vacation. And immediately, they're into eternity. You say, Shannon, what was that? God responding. I believe that still today, God has natural disasters take place in response to sin. Second way in which God reveals His wrath, my friends, is through heavenly powers. Is through heavenly powers. You guys all know the story of Israel in Egypt, right? God comes to the Pharaoh and says, let my people what? Let them go. And the Pharaoh comes and he says, I will not let my people, though your people go. I won't let them happen. And he says, fine. Then I will intervene. I will send frogs and locusts and all these different insects because you must let them go. Nothing happens. So the Bible reveals that God went and sent an angel at night and killed all the firstborn what?
Babies
and children. Wait, what did they do? I don't know. But when God's wrath strikes, it strikes. And it says that the angel of the Lord came and struck down every firstborn baby. Every firstborn of all Egypt. Exodus chapter 12, verse 29 through 30. There are times when God intervenes Himself into creation, into His world, and He devours with His own hand. Just ask the Assyrians. In 2 Kings 19, look there with me, 2 Kings 19. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Here you have Sennacherib coming and saying, I am going to beat you, Israel. I'm going to come to the southern kingdom. I'm going to devour you. And Hezekiah runs to the temple and says, please, God, intervene. Please help us. Don't let us be taken away. And we read in Exodus chapter 19, verse 35, it says these words. Listen to this. Then it happened that night the angel of the what? The angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 men in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the men arose early in the morning, behold, all of them were dead. 185 men dead. By who? God Himself, an angel of the Lord. There are times in this universe, even now, where God will send someone, an angel of the Lord, or something, to take out man. But here is in a major way, 185. My friends, these people had wives. These people had families. And they were now without a dad. Guys, when God strikes, you better watch out. Is this what it's saying in the Bible, or is this just me? Is it what it's saying in the Bible? I'm just revealing what God has revealed about Himself. But let me tell you, every time you see God striking, it's always after continually saying, please stop, stop, stop. Sennacherib wanted to show that he was the big man, that he was greater than God Himself. And God had another lesson for him. My friends, we read in Numbers chapter 14, verse 29, that the Egyptians were in the wilderness for 40 years. And during that time, God got tired of their rebellion, tired of their rebellion. He kept warning them, please stop, follow me, trust me. And they wouldn't. So God said He started opening up the universe and swallowing people. Just open up the ground. Whoop. Bye-bye. How can we not fear this God? How can we not take Him seriously? The third way in which God reveals His wrath, my friends, and I think this is very common even today, you can ask Saddam Hussein, is that God uses His wrath, He shows His wrath through various wars. He shows His wrath through various wars. When we see the Bible, we look in Exodus chapter 32, and all of a sudden someone decides, I'm going to go ahead and worship a golden calf. And God gets angry with them for doing that. He then sends and says, I want you to kill by war, I want you to kill 3,000 of your own men. It's kind of like this big family, and go and now kill those who worship this calf, go and kill 3,000 of them. One thing that's interesting, how many of you guys love the stories of Joshua? I mean, Joshua was the man. I mean, come on, he was like, I mean, the Lord used him greatly. But I want to remind you with Joshua. He comes into Canaan and Jericho, remember all the walls of Jericho fall down and woo, are there they win. Remember what God told him? Do not leave one person what? Alive. Does that include babies? Does that include children? Yes. Don't leave one person alive. He instructed Joshua to go in and kill all the Canaanites. Kill them all. But let me tell you, the Bible also makes it clear that's after several warnings upon warnings upon warnings. The reason why they had to wait 400 years in Egypt before they came to Canaan is God wanted to give them one more chance to know Him. And then God came in and struck. But you hear this and you think, unfathomable. How can that happen? God hates sin. You could see the same thing in the history of Israel. The northern kingdom was destroyed by the Assyrians. The southern kingdom was destroyed by the Babylonians. All taken into captivity. God uses war to bring His wrath. I believe with all my heart, God rose up George W. Bush to go and take out Saddam Hussein. I'm tired of his sin. Go get him. The fourth way in which God reveals His wrath, and which is probably most common, is through abandonment. Is through abandonment. If you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, we see this. Romans chapter 1. You see, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Every mankind knows about God. Every mankind knows. The truth about Him is evident according to verse 19. God is evident within them or among them, for God has made it evident. All mankind is without excuse. Verse 21 says, though, for even though they what? Know God, they did not honor Him as God. My friends, listen, I want to make something clear to you. Knowing God is not enough. Knowing God is not enough. You can look in Romans chapter 1, you can look in Romans chapter 2, you can look in Romans chapter 3. Knowing God is not enough. The problem is never knowledge, because God is revealed to all mankind. The problem is what we do with that knowledge. According to Romans chapter 1, even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, nor give thanks. Therefore, look at what it says that God did. Look with me in verse 24. It says, therefore God gave them what? God gave them what? God gave them over to their lusts, the lust of their hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored. Look what he says in verse 26. For this reason, God gave them over to their degrading passions. For their women exchange the natural function of that which is unnatural. That is, they get involved in homosexuality. My friends, what is homosexuality? It's God giving them over. Let me tell you the way I believe this looks. It looks like this. I think mankind... Come here, brother. I think mankind is sitting there. They want this lust over here. And God is holding them back. Because He knows, look, if they go get that, they're going to destroy themselves. They're going to destroy. And in His love, He's holding them back and saying, no, don't go. Don't go. You know better. And finally, they want to go so bad, He says, go ahead. Go ahead. And I'm telling you, some of you here, you know you are struggling with sin. And God is warning you, please don't go. Don't go. Don't go. Repent. Change. But you're not listening. And sooner or later, He's going to say, go. You want to destroy yourself? Go. I think what you see in our world today, you see a mass amount of the American people completely given over to their lust, to their depraved minds, and to their passions, just completely let loose. And they go crazy in their own minds. It is God's wrath on America. It's God's wrath on the world. You want your passions? Go. It says also in verse 28, they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. So God gave them over to a depraved mind. Friends, have we seen what's on television? You cannot turn on a station for more than 2 seconds without seeing sex. Someone and some woman looking all lustful. When you're given over to lust, it never satisfies. You cannot crave it enough. You cannot satisfy it. It's a roaring lion within which will never satisfy. Just ask Bundy. He said, I started out with a magazine and that wasn't enough. So then I went to movies. That wasn't enough. And so then I went to, people. People weren't enough. So then I went to animals. Our world is falling apart because God is letting it go. The fifth way, and I just say, my friends, I say this to you, my brothers, those of you that continue to want to run after sin, please hear another warning by God. Give it up. Repent. Run to Christ. Tell your friends, help me. Some of you might even be tempted to homosexuality. My friends, give it up and turn to Christ. Do not be given over to it. It will never satisfy and it will kill you. The fifth way that God reveals His wrath according to the Word of God is through the last days. It's through the last days. In the Revelation chapter 6, God tells us that He's going to send 7 seals of wrath. And they're going to be horrible. And then that's not enough. That's just the beginning. Then He's going to turn around in Revelations 8 and 9 and send 7 trumpets of wrath. And that's not going to be enough. Then in Revelation chapter 16, He's going to send 7 bowls of judgment. And each is going to be a series of God pouring forth His wrath. And imagine in these last days, the all-powerful, all-angry God towards sin pouring His wrath on humanity. And mankind is going to be crying, please give me deliverance. And there will be no deliverance. Friends, are you hearing what the Word of God declares about your God? My friends, the last demonstration of God's wrath is the worst of them all. The last or the sixth demonstration of God's wrath is eternal judgment in hell. The last demonstration of God's wrath is eternal judgment. The whole of the Bible warns of the terror of the future day of hell. What I want to do is I want to explain what the Bible reveals about hell. Because some of us are not awakened. Some of us don't have compassion for our family. Some of us don't have a passion to evangelize. How can we not? When we know what the Bible says about mankind's future, how can we not walk the streets and think that man right there is going to hell? How can we sit in a restaurant and think of our waiter and not have a concern about the future reality? Are we not serious? Are we not awakened? Why are we asleep with truth about this God? And we do nothing. What is wrong? Do we not believe it or do we believe it? But look what the Bible says about hell. First thing it says about hell, hell will be rejection and separation from God. Matthew 25, the Bible reveals that one day God will take mankind and He'll divide them between the sheep and the goats and He'll declare, "Depart from me, you wicked ones." He'll say, "Depart from me. I would hate to see that you walk up to the throne room of God, to the judgment seat. You see that face which you may have even called your dad. And that face is not a face of love. Depart from me." And maybe that's the last time you ever see God's face. But the Bible reveals in hell, it will be a day of separation. You will be separated from God. And there's nothing that hurts more as a father than to spank your own children. It's nothing that hurts more when your son has sinned and you say, "Go to your room." And they're saying, "No, but don't discipline me. Don't discipline me." And you go and then you spank because you love. You have to look with that face. Say, "I don't want to do this." And that day, the God who had been warning you and warning you and warning you will depart Himself from you. The Bible says, secondly, about hell, that hell will be when God pours forth His wrath. It's where He pours forth His wrath. Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 9 says, "Because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God." You are storing up for yourself wrath because you will not repent. You're storing up wrath. And the idea that's being communicated there is that your sin, your unrepentance, you're storing up, meaning it's like a water dam. And it's just storing up and storing up and storing up and storing up and storing up till one day that water dam busts and it comes. And all that wrath that's been building up and building up and building up and building up, boom! And it comes forth in the day of hell. The Bible also describes hell as being that of a sword, where God is sharpening His sword and sharpening His sword and sharpening His sword so that when He comes in the day of wrath, it's so sharp that it cuts anything. The Bible also describes wrath of God as a bow and arrow. And the idea is that the bow and arrow is getting pulled back and back and back and back. And my friends, it's going back because of the patience of God. God's being patient and patient and patient. But there is a day in which His patience runs out. And when that happens, the bow is pulled all the way back and boom, it strikes. And in hell, the Bible says that it is the day in which God, the God who has all power in His hand, pours His wrath. Where? Upon you. That's why the Bible says it's the great and terrible day of the Lord. What was meant for Satan and his demons will be poured out on you. It's kind of like a balloon. You ever take a balloon and you fill it all the way up, all the way up, all the way up, and then what happens? You let it go. God's wrath is being poured in, poured in, poured in, and then hell, it will be all released with all its fury and with all its power. The third description of hell is that it is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, Luke 13, 27-28, Matthew 8, 11 13 through 42, 22 through 13, Matthew 24, 50 through 51, 25 through 30, it says that hell is a place of gnashing and weeping of teeth. Matthew 13, 42 says this. It says, and we will throw them into a furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell will be a place where you weep and gnash your teeth. You say, Shannon, what does it mean to weep? And why are they weeping? One commentator says this, there is no weeping like this weeping. This weeping is the effect of complete loss of happiness. You're just weeping because you know that tomorrow gets no better. You have no hope. I don't know if you've ever had a bad day where you get in a car accident or something, and all of a sudden, you know, that day becomes horrible, and you just can't wait to go to bed because tomorrow will be a better day. Well, my friends, in hell, you'll know that the weeping of today will be the weeping of tomorrow. There will be a complete loss of happiness and it will cause you to weep. Another commentator says this, these tears which Jesus speaks are those of inconsolable, never-ending wretchedness and utter everlasting hopelessness. As soon as tragedy hits, tears flow, and you will see the tragedy of life, and you'll weep wanting deliverance. You say, what is this gnashing of teeth? The gnashing of teeth, or the grinding of teeth, will come as a result of excruciating pain and frenzied anger. I don't know if you guys have ever burnt yourself. You go and you burn yourself, and what happens? You go, right? That's gnashing your teeth. But the idea there is not just that you're, but it's your, and then you're angry. Get me out of here! Kind of idea. And you're grinding those teeth. Get me out of here! Stop! Because of the pain and the agony of that future day. Guys, this is what the Bible says. Do we believe it or not? Do we believe this book or not? The Bible says the fourth thing about hell is that hell will be a place of utter darkness. Matthew 8:11, 22:13, 25:30, Jude 13, and 2 Peter 2:17, that it is a place of total, utter darkness. I live in California. In San Francisco, they have a place called Alcatraz. And what they would do with their very worst criminals is they would throw them in a place that's a totally dark dungeon where they see no light at all. And they would throw them there because ultimately they would just go crazy. Hell will be total, utter darkness. I was sharing Christ with somebody one time, and he was mocking me, and he was saying, Shannon, in hell, I will party with my friends. And I said to him, my friend, you won't party with your friends. You won't even see your friends. And if you saw them, you would not want to even see them. I don't know about you, but I don't like when people are in pain. All you'll probably do is hear the cries and the screams of people around you. The Bible says it will be utter darkness. The fifth description of hell is it will be a place of tormenting fire. Tormenting fire. Luke 16, 23 through 24. Isaiah 33, 14, 66, 24. Matthew 3, 11 through 12. 5, 22. 13, 41 through 42, 13, 49 through 50, and Matthew 25, 41, Revelation 20, 15, Revelation 14, 10, John 15, 6, they all describe hell as tormenting fire. You say, Shannon, what is this fire? This fire is fire. That's what the Bible describes. It will be fire. It'll be like a blazing fire. It's described as the lake of fire. Jesus himself described hell as fire 13 times in the New Testament. John the Baptist described hell as fire 6 times. Friends, hell will be a place of fire. I don't understand it. I can't understand it. But that's what the Bible reveals, and I believe in the Word of God. And my friends, God in His love has revealed far more about His wrath than ever His love. Because He wants you to know, when Jesus came here, He said, repent! Please! But we hear it, and no change. Because we don't really believe it. The Bible says that hell will be a place, sixthly, of no rest day or night. Revelation 14, 9 through 11, where there's no rest. My friends, you're going to long to sleep, long to get just a little break from the agony, and there'll be no rest. Some of you or your parents have had a back problem, and because of the pain, they can't sleep at night. And I'm sure there'll be a longing to sleep, but the inability will not be there. My friends, I am just trying to reveal what God has revealed about Himself. And that future day. And the last thing about hell, which is the most horrific, the most unbelievable, the part I hate the most, is that hell is a place that lasts for eternity. It's a place that lasts for eternity. Matthew 5, 25 through 46 says that hell is eternal punishment. 2 Thessalonians 1, 9 says it's eternal destruction. Revelation 14, 11 says it's where the smoke goes up forever and ever. Revelation 20, 10 says it's tormenting day and night forever and ever. Forever and ever. Friends, are you hearing me? Forever and ever. I hated that. I did this as a report because I wanted to know, what does the Bible really say about hell? So I studied all that the Bible had to say, and this is what I got shown. But I said, wait a second, does eternity really mean eternity? So I looked up the word. The word is used 74 times in the Bible, and it always speaks of unending time. Time with no end. Friends, eternity is eternity. You don't just stop. Now is your chance. And this is the message. Friends, if you don't repent, if you don't turn to Christ, then eternity is your forever existence. Remember, the one man said that was in hell, can I not just go warn my family, so that they know. They have not heard the prophets. They will not hear you. Friends, I don't understand this. I don't understand it at all, but it says it is unending. It's without any time limitations. My friends, the wrath of God is a reality. Let's stop acting as if it's not. The Bible says that all the prophets revealed about the wrath of God. Jesus' forerunner said, flee from the wrath to come. Jesus said himself more about hell than any other writer. He said, fear him who has the power to cast you into hell. Fear him. Jesus also said, you'd rather live a life without a limb than to be cast into hell. Remember what the writer of Hebrews said, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. He says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, that God is a consuming fire. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Friends, you have a choice. Do you believe this book? Oh, friends, this is what God reveals. Do we believe it? Friends, we cannot live a day without revealing in our own minds what the Bible reveals about mankind's future. Say, Shannon, why are you a missionary to Africa? Because they must hear. How will they hear without a preacher? And we are all called to be messengers to tell people the wrath of God is coming. Please repent. Please hear what God is saying and change. All those people that saw Noah building that boat, all of them that were warned that the wrath of God is coming, didn't listen. But you know what? It came. Many of you here, you may hear that the wrath of God is coming. But the question is, will you listen? And you youth pastors, I know the desire is to be cool. But my friends, the desire that God would call us to is to warn your youth, to take serious. Where are serious people today? You can't find them. Everybody's the biggest jokester. Everybody's the funny guy. Bible, when you look at spiritual leadership, it always has sober-minded. Serious-minded. Say, Shannon, where's the hope? The hope is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Our Bible reveals that God did reveal His wrath one other way. It was on His Son, Jesus Christ. When Christ was on that cross, He said, "Father, Father, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" God at that moment was pouring the wrath which we deserved upon His own Son. You say, why did He pour His wrath on His Son? It's so that all who put their faith in Jesus Christ do not have to suffer wrath. You see this. God is the judge of the world. He cannot let any sin go unpunished. So if He was going to forgive somebody and still be just, He had to pour His wrath on something. So He said, let Me take My own innocent Son, let Me put Him on that tree, and I will bring My wrath on Him. So that those whom I want to forgive, I can forgive and do it in a just way. So He took His Son, and He poured His wrath on Him, which is proof that there's a wrath coming. If there was no wrath coming, and if we were all to just go on into existence and then be put right with God in the end, go to purgatory, He would have never sent His Son. There's no need. But He sent His Son so that those who recognize their problem of sin, those who realize that they are wretched sinners, they can run to that cross, they can cling that cross, and they can hold on to that cross. And through that cross, their own sins are put on God. And they are forgiven. Remember what Isaiah 53 said? It said this. And this is the great and glorious good news. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The Lord has caused the iniquity of us all who know Jesus Christ to fall on Him. My servant will justify the many as He will bear their iniquities. Because He poured out Himself to death and was numbered with the transgressions, yet He Himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Colossians says this. Colossians says this, and you were dead in your transgressions and in the uncircumcised in your heart, but He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven all your transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of the decrees against you. You had decrees against you. And what He did, it says, which these decrees were hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He paid the penalty for your sins. He bore the wrath which you deserved. That is the gospel. And he did it all to show that he is a righteous judge who will judge the world for sin. You have a choice, my dear friends. And this is the same choice that you must bring to your friends. Either you suffer the wrath of God for your sins on your own in hell, or you let Jesus take the wrath for your sins upon himself. But let it be known, my friends. Let it might be known, my dear friends. And I say this as if you were my own brothers, who are much, almost the same age as you. Some of which are living an immoral life that I would never even want to reveal to you. If you were my brother and you were my sister, I tell you, please hear the word of God and put your confidence in it. Fear him who will destroy. Some of you that spend most of your time asleep or talking, it's you I care about. That's why I wake you up. It's you I care about, because it's you that is dead inside and in need of this salvation. God has revealed his wrath. The question is this: will you believe it and run to him, the only one who can save you? Father God, thank you for your revelation about yourself. Lord, we don't understand, because in our own weird thinking, because we're so sinful, we don't realize how sinful we are among each other. Lord, but according to your word, we are rebels. Lord, but we rejoice because you came to love sinners. You came not for the righteous, but you came for the sinner, of which I am. Lord, we rejoice. Thank you for reaching out while we were yet sinners and dying. Oh God, help my friends to hear your word and truly believe it, truly be changed by it, and truly run to the only shelter they have. Help them run to you, O living God, and help them call all men everywhere, no matter where they're from, to come and put their faith in you and find their sins nailed to your cross. We are forever grateful, O God. Thank you. Through your Son we pray. Amen.